This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now, my brothers and sisters in Islam, since we have mentioned that the most important thing, or from the most important things to do when you're here, is liyuqim salat, establishing the prayer. From establishing the prayer, a part of establishing the prayer is what happens before the prayer and after the prayer. And many, many do not give consideration and importance to the adhan that is before the prayer and the adhkar that happen after the prayer. And so this is why, yani, I want to conclude this talk with highlighting a few sunan that a person should be doing before the prayer when the adhan is announced, and after the prayer with the adhkar that are read after the obligatory prayers. And why do I like to share this? Because we're here. We're listening to every adhan, walhamdulillah. And a person should put effort to be in the masjid before the adhan, so that you hear it as you are sitting waiting for as-salat. Listening to al-adhan in al-masjid has a special and a different taste, and it works to prepare a person for al-khushu' in as-salat. Al-adhan, this was legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through a dream. There was a companion, at the beginning, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sat with his sahaba and he asked them, how should we call the people to the prayer? So some said, we'll hit a wood, we'll make a fire, and the fire will rise and the people will know now it's time for the prayer and they'll come to al-masjid. So as the sahaba slept on a certain particular night, Abdullah ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu saw a dream. In the dream, he saw the words of al-adhan, the one that we know today, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, until La ilaha illallah. He saw the adhan in his dream. So he woke up the next day and he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, I saw in the dream these words and they are the call to the prayer. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acknowledged it and legislated it and said, this is how we are going to call the people to as-salat. And you're going to see the beauty of these words and why they were chosen the way they are and the order they come in, the words of al-adhan. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then referred, and then even Umar radiallahu anhu came and he narrated to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he had seen the same dream and the same words of al-adhan, he saw them in his dream. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abdullah ibn Zayd, go to Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu and teach him the adhan. فَإِنَّهُ أَنْدَى مِنْكَ سَوْطًا, because he is louder than you when it comes to calling the adhan. And that's why the adhan, it is recommended for someone with a loud voice and a clear voice that he make the adhan. And so Bilal radiallahu anhu was taught the adhan and he was the first mu'adhin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in al-Madina. So now the adhan has been called from that day until this day, non-stop. Every single day from that day until today, it is never ever reported anywhere that the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after that time stopped the adhan even for one prayer. Subhanallah, the power of Islam, and this is proof that Islam is the correct religion and the chosen religion by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is Allah azza wa jal who facilitates and allows for people to embrace Islam and then to continue to follow these traditions and these teachings of Islam. Al-adhan is called. Now, my brothers and sisters in Islam, as a practical matter that I encourage you and recommend you to do, is that go to al-masjid before al-adhan and sit and prepare yourself to listen to al-adhan. It is such a huge deal to listen to al-adhan. It is an important matter. It is a worship to listen to al-adhan. It's a worship. And I'm going to tell you of certain sunan. And if you were to implement these sunan, you will find such an incredible reward Allah Azza wa Jal has placed for these basic things you can do. And it's all over in 5 minutes. There are 5 sunan to be done when the adhan is called. Listen. Number one, the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, as found in Sahih al-Bukhari. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when you hear the adhan, then say exactly what the Mu'addin says. So when the Mu'addin says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And the hadith continues until La ilaha illallah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says at the end of the hadith, whoever says and repeats after the Mu'addin, min qalbihi dakhal al-jannah. Whoever repeats after the Mu'addin and he says it from his heart is present while the adhan is being recited. If he says it as the Mu'addin says, from his heart, he enters the paradise. Allahu Akbar. We haven't even started. He's entered the paradise. And this is to take into consideration, you haven't even got up to pray. This is only from the adhan. Dakhal al-jannah. طيب, how does the hadith go? The first words of al-adhan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The sunnah is for you to say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And say it with your heart. What does that mean? You need to internalize what Allahu Akbar means. Allah is great, Allah is great. Internalize it with your heart. How do you do so? You know, the fact that you left your country, you left Australia, you left your work, you left your money, you left your family, and you came here. Why did you come here? Because for you, Allah is great. Would you have come here if Allah wasn't great? No. No one would have come here if Allah... Look, those that do not declare Allahu Akbar, they're not here. Only those who declare Allah is great are here. You will not find anyone in this land that will say to you, Allah is not great. Because if a person doesn't declare the greatness of Allah, he won't be here. So this is proof. So as you sit and you repeat after the Mu'addin, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, internalize that you left it all and you came here with all the difficulty and hardship that you experienced because of this one statement. And that's just the beginning of the adhan. You came here because you truly believe from your heart that Allah is the greatest. Allah Azza wa Jal is worth that I leave everything for His sake and I came here. Right? And so you've come all the way. So don't sit in your hotel. Leave early and go to Al-Masjid so that when you say Allahu Akbar now, it's perfect and complete. You left the entire trip all the way from there to end up sitting here and coming down late. Don't do that. Try your best to be there, sitting in the Masjid and saying Allahu Akbar as the Mu'addin is saying it. Right? You still have plenty of days, inshallah, and then Al-Madinah, implement this sunnah. It's going to make a huge difference in your life. And consider, my brothers and sisters in Islam, you're not getting this opportunity back home in Australia. Many don't hear the adhan. If you came to the masjid, people coming late, right? The opportunity yani, is hardly there. So take advantage of it when you're here. Then when the Mu'addin says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, the sunnah is to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And that is the greatest word in Islam. With the word Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, a person becomes a Muslim. A person rejects Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, he becomes a disbeliever. This word is the difference between a believer and a disbeliever. And so internalize that you have testified that Allah Azza wa Jal is one in His Lordship and worship and in His names and attributes. When you say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, when you say it with your heart, that means you want to acknowledge from your heart that, oh Allah, I believe that you exist. And I believe that you are above your throne. And I believe that worship belongs to you alone. And I believe that the most perfect attributes and names belong to you. This is what is meant by Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah when you're saying it from your heart. And then the adhan continues, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. The sunnah is to also say Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, because the greatest testimony after testifying that Allah is one is to testify that Muhammad is the final slave, is the final servant, is the final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And here you remember your prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then afterwards you say Hayya, the Muaddin would say Hayya ala salat, Hayya ala salat. And then he will say, Hayya ala al-falah, Hayya ala al-falah. When he says, Hayya ala al-salah, you're supposed to say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Why is Hayya ala al-salah mentioned straight after Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah? Because if you look at Arkan al-Islam, the pillars of Islam, They begin with the two testimony. Shahadu an la ilaha illallah wa shahadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. What's the second pillar in Islam? What's the second pillar in Islam? As-salat. So now in the adhan, we're saying, hayya ala as-salat. Rush and come to the prayer. That's the second pillar. And so, hayya ala as-salat. Coming after the shahadatayn has something incredible in it. Number one, when you say, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, the greatest implementation of la ilaha illallah is to pray. Yani what proves that you really believe ashhadu an la ilaha illallah? Get up and pray. If you get up and you pray, that's a good sign that you do testify ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And then there's ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. How is the prayer related to ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah? Because when you pray, you can only pray in the manner that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught you. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray in the exact same manner you saw me pray. Don't decrease and don't increase. For this is why ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and then hayya ala salat comes. Hayya ala salat is teaching you that this is the greatest way you're going to implement that there is no Lord worthy of worship except Allah, and that the way you pray is going to be a great manifestation that you believe Muhammadur Rasulullah. And when you hear hayya ala salat, you say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And notice the word hayya. Hayya means what? To rush, to come. But it also comes from the word hayy. And hay means what? It's opposite al-mayyit. Mayyit means dead. Hay means someone alive. So it's as though rush to the prayer, but in rushing to the prayer there is life. There is life for the heart. There is life for the soul. A person's soul and heart is nourished by the prayer. It's nourished by the prayer. It revives with the prayer. Now you can understand why Ibrahim alayhi salam in his dua said, رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Because if a person established the prayer, his heart is dead, his heart is alive, his body is alive, بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So the word حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ. And then you say, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Why does it differ here? Everywhere else, you say exactly what the Muaddin said. Except in حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ, you don't say حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ. You say, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Why? لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. What does it mean? It means لَا حَوْلَ. There is no ability. There is no ability for tahawul. There is no ability that I may change. Yani I can't change from sin to obedience. I cannot change from innovation to sunnah except by Allah's permission. Illa billah. And la quwwah. I have no power. I have no ability. I have no strength except by Allah Azza wa Jalla's permission. Why do we say this? Because when the Muaddin says, Hayya ala salah, come to the prayer, you are taught to declare that la hawl, no, I can't. La quwwah, I don't have ability to come to the prayer. I don't have strength to come to the prayer. The Muaddin is saying, come to the prayer. And I'm telling him, I can't. I can't. I don't have the strength and the ability and the power except by Allah. Illa billah. So now when you say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, you're acknowledging your weakness. That yes, you're sitting in the masjid. You're prepared for a salah. You've done better than most that haven't even arrived to the masjid yet. But even then you humble yourself before Allah. And you say, even though I left my room early, and I've made wudu, and I've made effort to come, and sit as close as I can to the front lines, and I am here, and I'm repeating after the muadhin. When it comes to hayya ala salat, you're going to acknowledge your weakness. And you're going to say, all that preparation, I couldn't do that. I didn't have strength for that. And every salat, I didn't have it. Except billah. It's because Allah has given you the strength to come for al-duhr, then al-asr, then al-maghrib, then al-isha, then again al-fajr. And then you continue this all the way until the last day of your life. That's because Allah has given permission for your body to get up and your pray. Otherwise, what's the difference between you and those that are in the same age as yours and in the same physical strength as yours, but they're not praying? What's the difference? How come you can get up and pray and he also has the ability and the physical power to get up and pray? What's the difference? The only difference is that Allah gave you the ability and permission and he deprived him of the ability and permission. Yani it's like when someone says, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, he just wants to thank Allah Azza wa Jal for giving him that power that he's able now to stand before his hands and pray. SubhanAllah. And then after Hayya ala salat, we're saying Hayya ala al-falah. The Mu'adhin is saying, come to success. Why come to success? You're being taught that as-salat is success. Anyone who wants success in his life, and there is no one on earth except that he runs after success. If you're deprived of as-salat, then be well and truly sure that you're going to be deprived of success. And whatever success comes your way, then it's imaginary success. That's not that fake success. That's going to lead you to Jahannam, wal-iyadu billah. There is no success without as-salat. If you do happen to find some success without salat, that's a deception. That's a deception. That's not true. That's fake success. That's going to ultimately lead you to the displeasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. For salat is success. This is why we're saying Hayya ala al-falah after Hayya ala al-salat, to teach you and I that success is in the prayer. This is why in the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah Azza wa Jal says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers have achieved success. Who are they? الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who have achieved khushu' and deep focus and concentration in their prayer. He didn't even say, they are the ones who pray. Lala, because the mu'min already prays. That's finished that discussion. But they are those who have achieved khushu' in their prayer. Right? So these are people that definitely pray. There's no question about this. But that's where success is tied with the prayer. This is why you'll hear Hayya ala al-falah in al-adhan. To always remind you and I, 5 times a day, this is the road of success. As-salat is the road of success. And you're once again going to say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Meaning, oh Allah, I don't have the ability. I don't have the ability to embark on this road and path of success except by your permission. And then finally, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And you say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then the Mu'adhin says, La ilaha illallah. And you say, La ilaha illallah after that. Why? Because once you have said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, after he has said, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala al-falah, then he says, Allahu Akbar. And how beautiful is it to say, Allahu Akbar, after having said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Because when you said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, remember, you acknowledged your weakness. So now that you have acknowledged your weakness, acknowledge that Allah is great. Acknowledge that it was Allah who gave you the strength and ability to stand before His hand and pray. So now the final words is to say, Allahu Akbar. Allah is great that He gave me this ability and this power. And then finally, La ilaha illallah. Because that's it, I have no words but to submit and to declare to your oneness and to your worship and to worship your Allah, La ilaha illallah. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who says after the Mu'adhin, as he says, min qalbihi, from his heart. And now why did I want to share with you a bit of the meanings? So that when you reflect over these meanings, that's when you're saying al-dhikr from your heart. The result is dakhal al-jannah. Enters the paradise, khalas, that's it. Such a person enters the paradise. Enters the paradise, subhanAllah, that's the first sunnah. The next sunnah is to send prayers upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, as in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim, that when you hear the Mu'adhin, then say what he says, ثُمَّ صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ. Then send your peace and your prayers upon me. Meaning, as soon as the adhan has finished and you have said what the Mu'adhin has said, stop. And first thing you say is, اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. This is what you're going to say. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever, and this is the reward of saying this salat after the adhan, the reward is, من صلى علي صلاة صلى الله عليه بها عشرة. Anyone who sends one prayer upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's a sunnah to do immediately after the adhan, then Allah would send prayers upon this person 10 times. What does it mean? Allah praying upon the servant means Allah praises him among the high ranking angels. So imagine that. Your name is mentioned 10 times over among the high ranking angels. Jibreel, Israfil, Mikael, Hamalat al-Arsh, and all those angels. Your name is mentioned before them. Yani, how honored does the servant feel? And I give you an example. Imagine you were not here. We were 70 sitting here. And let's say you happened to walk in. And then we all looked at you and we said, SubhanAllah, brother, we were just talking about you. How happy would you feel? How excited would you be? How honored would you feel? SubhanAllah, the brothers were talking about me. And I'm not telling you, brothers, I got to mention you. We're saying Allah is going to make mention of you among the high-ranking angels. This is indeed an incredible honor for the one who understands. SubhanAllah. And not once, and to you once, but Allah's generosity is that He'll make it 10 times. SubhanAllah. Okay. So, min qalbihi dakhal al-jannah. You repeat after the mu'adhdhin from your heart enters the paradise. Then, as-salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah azza wa jalla will praise you 10 times over. The third sunnah, thumma salullaha li al-wasila. The third sunnah, and this is the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim, that the believer would say, after sending prayers upon the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will say, Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma was-salati al-qa'imah ati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila wa ba'athhu maqaman mahmudan alladhi wa'adtah. And then innaka la tukhlifu al-mi'ad is an addition to this authentic hadith. Some ulama declared it weak, some declared it authentic. If you say innaka la tukhlifu al-mi'ad at times, no problems. And if you leave it at times, no problems. So this is what you will say. This dua. Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tammah. Just understand briefly what it is. You're saying, oh Allah, you are the Lord of this perfect call. Focus. Ad-da'wah at-tammah. Yani al-adhan. The words of the adhan. From the beginning, Allahu Akbar, to the end, La ilaha illallah. That is the complete da'wah. That's it, that's Islam. Al-adhan is Islam. You want to give da'wah to someone? Teach him the meanings of Islam. Every single teaching of Islam is found in al-adhan. The teachings of Islam, what are they? Allah is the greatest. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Establish the prayer. Hayya ala al-falah, every good we know enters in hayya ala al-falah, because every good we know is success. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Conclude your life with La ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah. That's Islam. Ad-da'wati tammah. This is the perfect and most complete da'wah. This is why some of our mashayikh would encourage, when you go to the West, when you see disbelievers, explain to him the adhan. That's the complete da'wah. He doesn't need more than that. If he accepts the adhan, he's accepted Islam completely. SubhanAllah. So you say, oh Allah, the owner and the Lord of this perfect call, was-salat al-qa'imah, and Allah Azza wa Jal also owns this established prayer. The salat that you're going to pray, Allah owns it. And He's the Lord of this prayer. That's why you pray to Him alone, because He's its Lord, its Lord. Was-salat al-qa'imah. Aati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila. You say, oh Allah, and this is your making a dua for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How honored should the believer be? You're saying, oh Allah, grant the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-wasila and al-fadila. What's al-wasila wal-fadila? Ulama rahimahumullah, they said al-wasila is the level in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be in the paradise. Al-wasila is the name of the highest level that is in al-firdaus. And that is only for one slave of Allah's slaves. And that is for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the only one who deserves from among all of mankind to be in the highest position in the paradise. It's called al-wasila, wal-fadila, and grant him a blessing. This, al-ulama rahimahumullah said, could be يعني, a blessing and a gift in addition to the high level that Allah Azza wa Jal gives him, wal-fadila. وَبَعَثْهُ اللَّهُمَّ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا الَّذِي وَعَدَّهُ. And raise him on the day of judgment to a praised platform that you promised him. Wal maqam al mahmud, that Allah Azza wa Jal promised the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is al-shafa'a, is al-shafa'a. And that is when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercedes to Allah azza wa jal on behalf of mankind, that accountability begins. And that has a long story to it. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever says this, حَلَّتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, most definitely, my intercession will be guaranteed for him on the Day of Judgment. Then so far, these are three sunnah. You've earned the paradise with the first one. The praise of Allah Azza wa Jal 10 times round in the second one. You have now earned the intercession of Rasulullah on the Day of Judgment. Meaning in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be your lawyer on the Day of Judgment. He defends you on the Day of Judgment. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he intercedes for the sinners. He intercedes for the sinners of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of people of minor sin and major sin. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also intercedes for believers that they enter the paradise without accountability. And this depends on a person and his state and condition and his iman and so on. It differs from person to person in terms of what kind of intercession you will receive. But no doubt you will receive an intercession. That's just for making this dua after al-adhan. The fourth one is, we've said to repeat after the mu'adhin, as-salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then, Allahumma rabba hadhihi al-da'wati al-tamma. Then the fourth one is, and this is the hadith of, I forgot the sahabi, it's also in as-sahihayn. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, that when you hear the adhan, and whoever says after the adhan, after the mu'adhin, he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh raditu billahi rabba wa bi Muhammadin rasula wa bil islam deena ghufira lahu dhanbuhu. Whoever says this dhikr that we just said now, ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah, that's already known, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّهِ, now, وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا, right, as opposed to وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ, that comes generally at the beginning in أَذْكَارُ الصَّبَاحُ الْمَسَاءِ, here you flip them around, وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ, then the reward is that all his previous sins are forgiven, because there is a narration under الحاكم, and that is authentic, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, what has preceded of his sins. Prove the incredible grand reward. This is all done in 5 minutes, not even. That's the fifth one. And ulama, rahimahumullah, they differed. When is this dhikr supposed to be said? Some said that you will say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, this dhikr, after the adhan. After the adhan. And some said that it's supposed to be said after the muaddin says, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, before he says Hayya ala salah, that's when you'll squeeze it in, you'll say it there. Because there's the narration of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, in where he adds a word before Ashhadu, and that is wa'ana. So that means this, so that you don't get confused. The Mu'adhin said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and you said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Now, as he wants to say Hayya ala salah, here, right now, here you'll say Wa ana ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluh raditu billahi rabba wa bi Muhammadin rasula wa bil islam deena. That's one opinion. You can say it here, or you can delay it until the end of the adhan and say it right then and there. Especially if you're new to it and it's going to take you some time and it's going to mix you with Hayya ala salah, you can't la hawla, khalas, leave it at the end then. طيب. The final sunnah that is encouraged here is that once the adhan is complete and you've said everything that you have said, now is a time for dua. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الدعاء بين الأذان والإقامة مستجاب. The dua between adhan and iqama is an answered dua. Now you focus on a dua. And why is this an accepted dua and it's a beautiful dua? Because it's come after the praise of Allah and after you have sent prayers upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, when we discuss the etiquette of dua, the manners of dua, Don't you always hear that the best dua is the one where you start by praising Allah, then you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, then you make your dua, right? That's the best way of making dua. That's better than to just, oh Allah, grant me, and oh Allah, give me, and oh Allah, forgive me. Don't do that. Don't rush, come into it quickly like that. Praise Allah first. Say, oh Allah, to you belongs all praise. Oh Allah, send peace upon your Prophet and blessings upon your Prophet. Oh Allah, forgive my sin. That's the best dua, to start like this. This dua, between adhan and iqamah, it comes after you have praised Allah, because the dua is a praise of Allah. When you say Allahu Akbar, you've praised Allah. You say La ilaha illallah at the end of the dua, you've praised Allah. Then you've sent prayers upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when you said Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And now you're in a perfect position to just begin your dua. Yalla, start. And it's an answered dua. Why? Because when the muadhin said, come to salat, you answered Allah's call and you came. Now Allah will answer your call. Now Allah will answer your dua. That's how it is. That's the generosity of Allah Azza wa Jal. You've answered His call and you've come to as-salat, I'll answer your dua now. I'll make what you want. Very important time to make dua. And look at the beauty of this. It is with us 5 times a day. Because that's how much a person is in need of an answered dua every day. And then there are more places in as-salat and other times of an answered dua. The abundance, or the many times of an answered dua. What's this? This is teaching you and I that that's how much we are in need of dua, and we are in need of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah Azza wa Jal made during the day and during the night certain times in which the dua is accepted. So that, because Ya Rab, and I can't wait. If Allah Azza wa Jal had made it one time of the day and the night in which dua is accepted, it would be too long to wait. So I'm going to wait 24 hours for that time for an accepted dua. No, I need this every couple of hours, right? So this is the attitude of the believer when it comes to a dua, especially between al-adhan wal-iqamah. So these are the sunan and what's recommended that a believer does at the time of al-adhan. And that is before the prayer. Then of course, the iqamah is called, and it is also a sunnah to repeat after the iqamah. Yani this sunnah, all of what we said is not limited to al-adhan. It's permissible as well, and it is recommended that you also do the exact same thing when you hear the iqamah. Then the iqamah is also called an adhan. It's also called an adhan, as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَيْنَ كُلِّ أَذَانَيْنِ صَلَاتِ. There is 2 units of prayer between every 2 adhans. And what that means is the adhan and the iqamah. Adhan and the iqamah. So you repeat. At the time of Fajr, you'll hear As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. When you hear that, say As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. You don't say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You'll just say As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm, exactly what he said. Now, طيب. So now then you pray, and after the prayer, there is adhkar after the prayer. You're all familiar with adhkar after the prayer? Many people stand up and walk off, having not made the adhkar after the prayer, and there was incredible, huge reward in the adhkar after the prayer, just as good as what was with the adhan. So I want to share this with you inshallah ta'ala in a couple of minutes. Half an hour left. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Very simple. There are 6. Well, we'll leave it for another time. It requires a longer discussion to discuss, are they said aloud or you remain silent? Do we say them in order? How much time do you have after the prayer to say them? If you forgot to say them, can you say them after? What are the 6? What are the reward? It's a longer discussion. We'll leave it perhaps inshallah ta'ala for tomorrow. Inshallah ta'ala, you've got enough sunan memorized and for today. I'll put them up on the WhatsApp group inshallah. I'll post them on so that you can see them, save them, and implement them for the rest of the time you're here. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from us. Ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who follow sunnah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because understand that as good as the reward is, that's it only excites a person when he implements the sunnah. There's no reason to be happy if you don't implement it, because the reward is only for the one who implements it. So the happiness is for the one who's going to implement it. For we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of those who follow sunnah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.